In the name of Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand, the throne of God. Text for our meditation this morning comes from Luke's gospel as previously read. It was sort of a mixed bag of people that were following along with Jesus. And now the crowds were getting bigger. And as Jesus turned and looked at the masses of the crowds that were following along with him, he could tell that there were some that were following along who weren't going to make it to the end. Because the end was in Jerusalem, and the end was a cross. And there were some following along who wouldn't care to know anything about the cross that Jesus was headed for. And so as Jesus turns and addresses the people following him today, he uses kind of an interesting strategy. We might call it like addition by subtraction or recruitment by discouragement. Because what he seems to be doing is weeding out what might be called like the bandwagon fans, the name only people that are just kind of around because it's exciting at the time and maybe Jesus will give out another couple free meals on the mountainside, but they're not really there for the long haul. This kind of recruitment strategy is actually the same kind of thing done by one of our nation's most elite branches of the military. It's the same kind of thing done by the Navy SEALs. You see, if you go on the Navy SEAL website, here's what it doesn't say. Everybody is welcome. Even if you're a little out of shape or you're a little lazy or you don't really want to try it that bad, but maybe you're just thinking about it, come along and try. Give it a try. See what happens. And if it's not for you, we'll tell you nicely and we'll just send you home. And that way, at least you know that you tried. Now, the Navy SEALs aren't interested in lackluster commitment or half-hearted devotion to their cause. They say right up front, it's the ultimate challenge, the ultimate brotherhood. And they're not shy about listing all of the requirements. They're not shy about talking about how the training is meant to bring you to the edge of your mental and physical capabilities. And then they go on to list all the requirements that you have to be able to do. Run this far in this amount of time, do this many push-ups, this many sit-ups. They put it all out there so that you can see it ahead of time and calculate whether you want to give it a try. Well, let's get one thing straight. As Jesus addresses the disciples, what he's not doing is laying out for them the physical requirements that it will take for them to get to heaven. He's not basing his grace on their commitment or on their performance. And that's something that we need to keep straight as we go through. So remember these two things. That being a good disciple isn't going to get you into heaven. That's the free gift of God's grace that gives you heaven. But Jesus also wants the disciples and the followers to realize that being a genuine disciple will come with a cost. There will absolutely be things that you need to endure because you are living in a genuine relationship with Jesus. And so he wants the people to count that cost, to sit down and calculate it. That's why he tells those two illustrations about the guy who's going to build a tower or the king who better see whether he has a chance to win the battle. He wants people to count the cost. And so what is that cost? What's the cost of being a disciple of Jesus? Well, he goes on to tell us, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And your initial reaction to that is, so a genuine disciple of Jesus hates their whole family. I guess that's not what I expected. We might as well take the Family Growing in Christ banners down. What's going on here? I thought that somewhere in the Bible, it says like that you should love your father and mother and that husbands should love their wives just as Christ loved the church and that parents should bring their children up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Is Jesus just having a bad day here? Or why does it seem like he's taking an axe to the rest of what God's word says about loving our families? Well, what Jesus is doing here is making a point. He's using a hard truth to catch the attention of the lackadaisical followers out there that aren't listening so closely and aren't all that concerned about what Jesus really has to say. He wants to catch their attention with a hard truth and with jarring words like, hate your father and mother and even yourself. On another occasion, Jesus says this same truth in a way that makes a little bit more sense to us. Jesus says, anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And when we hear it phrased that way, then it makes a little bit more sense to us. Then we realize Jesus is really just taking the first commandment, which says, you shall have no other gods before me. And he's reaffirming it and he's applying it to himself, saying, not your parents, not your spouse, not your children, no one before or more than me. And you know who Jesus is disagreeing with as he says so? A lot of people that we kind of know and like our first one here, Princess Diana, who says family is the most important thing in the world. Or Walt Disney, who says the same thing, the most important thing is family. Or another guy like Dennis Quaid that says, my family is the most important thing in the world to me, too, before anything else. Now realize, none of those people are here to explain the full context of what they meant, and I just kind of ripped their quotes off the internet, so they're not here to defend themselves. But if you take at face value the thing that they said, and you believe it, that family is the most important thing even before God, well, Jesus says, such a person cannot be my disciple. And then he doesn't back down from it. Then he adds more to it. Then he says, whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Now, this statement, it almost might make more sense to us who come way after the fact, who can look back and see that Jesus had to carry his own cross partially on his way to his own crucifixion. We know that Jesus had to go through that and had to carry his cross. But at the time that Jesus was saying this, well, he hadn't done any of that yet. And so as he's calling the people to carry their cross, I suppose all they would have known that is in general, there was a Roman cross that was like the worst instrument of torture and execution that criminals who were sentenced to death by crucifixion would have to carry to their cross. And so Jesus is communicating to them that it was going to be hard and brutal and burdensome. Carrying the cross was not going to be easy. And the Bible tells us that all over the place. Like in Acts, it tells us that we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Life as a genuine disciple of Jesus is going to come with daily taking up the cross and following Jesus, daily crucifying ourselves with its passions and desires, and daily following after Jesus. Now, the people in the crowds who were hearing this would have broken down basically into two different groups. There would have been the group that we might call, as we did before, the bandwagon fans, the people who were just there because it seemed fun at the moment. But what would they do when they heard the requirements that Jesus was talking about, the cost of being a disciple? Well, as it happened many times throughout the ministry of Jesus, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. And as they did so, if they did it permanently, they walked away forever from the only one who has the words of eternal life. What about the ones who stayed? What about the ones who kept on following along with Jesus? Well, Jesus' words would then be calling them to intensify their commitment. Jesus called them to wholehearted devotion and all-in commitment. As you think about what that means, to be all-in, to be wholly devoted and committed, well, what are the things that your heart most latches onto that threatens to keep you out or to keep you half in and half out? What are the things that you find your hands clutching onto in this world that you do not want to be taken from you? Is it the family pressures that we talked about before that keep you in the same situation or that take you away from Jesus? Is it your sinful pride that simply will not let anyone see you as you actually are and help you? Or is it just all the long hours that you put in at work so that you can have a chance to give your family everything that you always wanted and all the toys to boot so that life on this earth will be a little bit easier and a little bit happier? Well, you know what that idol is better than I do. Whatever it is that you will not let be taken from you until it's from your cold, dead fingers, that is the thing that threatens to separate you from God forever. That's the thing that Jesus calls you to put down. So Jesus goes on, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. So when we've taken this rigorous self-assessment of the law and seen how we've failed, seen our half-hearted commitment, seen our lackluster obedience, what are we to conclude? That we're like salt that's lost its saltiness and is good for nothing more than to be thrown out because it's not even good to help the manure pile compost faster? When we take this rigorous self-assessment of the law, we realize that God is bringing us to exactly the point where he wants us to be, where we despair of ourselves, where we don't think we can do it by our own Navy SEAL Christianity, where we look again to Christ. So before you turn away in despair, look again at Christ and remember where he was headed on that day. He was headed to Jerusalem. He was headed to a cross. He was headed there with wholehearted devotion and a full and final commitment to lay down his life for the sins of the world. And he went there for everyone, for the half-hearted and for the lackluster. And he went there for you and me, even in spite of our indifference. Our Savior carried on offering to his Father all in commitment and attention to every last one of God's demands. See what Jesus accomplishes as he dies on the cross. We see the triune God setting aside his own first commandment. We see God placing us in front of himself. and we see God giving us everything he demands from us. The God who said, hate your father and mother rather than place them in front of me, and hate your children too rather than place them in front of me. We see God hating his own beloved son in place of the children that he should have hated. We see God offering up and forsaking his own perfect son in order to have us for himself. And the son that was offered, the son that was forsaken, was the very one who was perfect in every way, who offered his father full commitment and wholehearted devotion. We see that son calling us to follow after him. Jesus never called us to pick up our cross and lead the way and save ourselves. Jesus called us to pick up the cross and follow him on the way that he has paved to our salvation. So as you follow behind him carrying the cross, the Holy Spirit bolsters your legs under the weight of the cross that Jesus has laid upon your shoulders. He strips from your hands everything that you're unwilling to give up, and he strengthens your grip on the cross, which is your death to sin and is your very life. As Christ calls you to follow, do what he says. Take a moment and calculate the cost. See the nothing that you put down, the nothing that you lose, and the everything that you gain from following after the only one who has the words of eternal life. Put down the things that you love. Pick up what you loathe, the cross of Christ, and follow him. Amen. Thanks so much for worshiping with us today. We hope that God's word has strengthened your faith. To help us know more about the reach of our efforts here at Mount Olive, we hope that you'll like and subscribe to our YouTube and Facebook pages, and that you also sign our online friendship register to let us know that you're listening today. God bless and keep you.